Most of us are familiar with the Hall of Fame coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. His teams were winners. He led the Packers to 5 NFL championships and 2 Super Bowl victories. In fact, the Packers won the first 2 Super Bowls in 1966 and 1967. Now, what made Lombardi's team so successful was his emphasis on the fundamentals. As one author rightly states, his teams won championships because they could block, tackle, and execute better than their opponents. Well, like Vince Lombardi, Paul knew the importance of a church practicing the fundamentals of the faith, which is really the reason for the book of 1 Timothy. Because the church at Ephesus was starting to move away from the basic truths of Christianity, Paul wrote to Timothy, the pastor of the Ephesian church, to remind him that the church must give its attention to the essential truths. And what was true in the first century is surely true for the church today in the 21st century. But churches today are adrift from the essential biblical or Bible truth. The social gospel is the dominating theme in so many pulpits today. It seems like pastors are preaching everything but the Word of God. And so again, the church needs a refresher course on how to conduct itself, how to behave, how to properly be the church that God has purposed us to be. And the last 3 verses of 1 Timothy 3 give us this very instruction. Now this evening I want us to look at the statement that declares that the church is to conduct itself in an appropriate way, then what that consistent pattern of life, what that behavior looks like. In other words, when Paul says that the church is to know how to behave itself, we're going to see how that behavior comes to pass, what it looks like, how the church gets to that point where they know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Well, my prayer is that we here at Westside are a 1 Timothy church, so to speak, that behaves itself in an appropriate way. Well, I want to read verses 14, 15, and 16, and then we'll look at this portion of Scripture. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified or vindicated in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Well, Paul begins verse 14 by saying, these things write I unto thee. And what is the apostle referencing here? Well, the conduct of the church. The apostle is writing Timothy to convey the truth, the doctrine that is the handbook for church polity. Now, Paul's desire is to deliver this message in person. As we see here, he hopes to come shortly. But then he says in verse 15, but if I tarry long, if perchance I'm unable to come soon, historians don't know if Paul was ever able to return to the church at Ephesus. But he said, this is what I want you to know. This is my prayer for you, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I want you to know how to do church. You know, there are many books out there on how to do church. You have conferences. We haven't been able to really go to conferences for the last year, but I mean, I get periodicals, I get advertisements all the time. You need to come to this pastor's school, or you need to come to this pastor's conference. And what do? They teach you how to do church. Well, these three verses teach us how to do church. Now, the present infinitive form of the Greek used here for behave speaks of having a consistent and ongoing pattern of life, which is how the church is to function. The church of Jesus Christ is to have a continuous standard, orderliness, arrangement about it. Its deportment is to be God-honoring, Christ-pleasing. I think of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. The church, whatever it does, however we do church, is to do so for the glory of God. You know, I think it puts the church in another category, on another level, when our emphasis here is the glory of God. It's not that Pastor Lane can be seen or whoever. It's for the glory of God. But for this right polity to occur requires an understanding of several essential realities. And the first truth that the church needs to realize is who is the head of the church. Verse 15 tells us that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, notice, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Friends, the head of the church is God. The church belongs to God. He is in charge of the church. The members of the church are God's family, his household. It says here that how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, the idea that the church's constituents are God's household is really buttressed in its several verses in the New Testament. If you want to turn with me, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 tells us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, at the church of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then as we have just read, Paul also defines the assembly of believers as the church of the living God. Again, the church is by its very nature God's possession. Remember Paul's words in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto thyselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In Ephesians 1:14, Paul referred to the church as God's purchased possession, which is to be to the praise of his glory. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now further, the description of the church at Ephesus as the church of the living God is Paul's way of saying that the church, and this is a quote, is the island of light in a dark sea of pagan worship. Friends, knowing that God / Jesus is the head of the church, and therefore we as the church belong to him, we are his purchased possession. Jesus gave his life, he shed his blood to purchase the church of Jesus Christ. tells us we must please our Lord. We must please our Savior. We must honor Him. We must take our instructions from Him. He is the head of the church, which means we must faithfully fulfill the God-ordained mission of the church, which brings us to the second essential truth that the church needs to realize if it is to behave, and that is, what is the commission? What is the mission? What is the calling of the church? Well, the answer is, if you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. Paul, in using the metaphor of pillar and ground or foundation, declares that the church is to be the true testimony of God's divine revelation, which of course includes the whole of the Christian faith. The church does not invent the truth. It does not alter the truth. It is what supports and safeguards the truth. The church has been given the stewardship of the scriptures, and therefore it is its custodian, its guardian, and its defender. And surely the authority and infallibility of the scriptures certainly needs to be defended today. Remember, all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. Let me just say this. Can we imagine, and I think we can because we see it all around us, but can we imagine a world where there's no truth? What is the bastion of truth in our world today? What is the answer to that? It's the church. If the church doesn't, if the church is not a right steward, guardian, defender of the truth, the truth dies in our streets. And so if the church isn't doing its job, then you're going to see the effect in society in general, amen? And I think we're seeing that now. I mean, mainstream media is lying all the time. Evidently, they aren't going to churches where the truth is being taught. They are not in churches where they are defending the truth of God's word. Well, what is the church to do to uphold the truth that has been entrusted to it? Well, individually, and I say individually because individually then we corporately make up the church. The church isn't just this mass of humanity. The church is you. The church is me. And so for the church to be that guardian, that defender of the truth, means that you are to be the defender of the truth. And as you defend the truth by how you live, as I defend the truth by how I live, then the truth is preserved in, let's say, Westside Baptist Church. And we become that, or we then are that light set on a hill. We are that salt that is so needed to stop the putrefaction that is taking place in our society. Well, individually, we must first believe the truth. Listen to what Paul says in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. What was Paul's testimony? He says, I believe. I believe the word of God. I mean, of course, during his time, the scriptures were being written, the New Testament. But what he's saying is what was written in the Old Testament, which they had, is what I believe. Friends, if you don't believe the word, you'll never defend the word. You defend what you believe. Isn't that true? If you believe that the Green Bay Packers were one of the greatest football teams ever under the coach of Vince Lombardi, you will defend that reality. So how important it is that we believe the Word of God. And then second, to uphold this truth that has been entrusted to us, and this is all very rudimentary, but it certainly is a good reminder, we must memorize the truth. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might, what? Not sin against thee. Third, we must meditate on the truth. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, what? Prosperous. And then thou shalt have, what? Good success. We believe it. We memorize it. We meditate on the truth. Fourth, we must study it. The Awana theme verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study, if you know it, say it with me, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Fifth, we must obey it. We must live it. It does little good to hear the word, memorize the word, meditate on the word, study the word, if we do not obey the word. Remember Christ's words in Luke 11:28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and what? Keep it. Keep it. We are to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Titus 2:10. Sixth, we must defend it. Paul said in Philippians 1:7 that he was set for the defense of the gospel. Each of us be set for the defense of the gospel. And finally, we are to proclaim it. I think of the Great Commission. You all are familiar with what Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We can go because we know the Lord is with us. We are to proclaim it. Again, the supreme mission of the church, your mission, my mission, is to uphold and support the truth our Lord has given us. We are to make sure that Westside is a place where we can say it is the pillar and ground of the truth. Which then brings us to the third essential truth that the church needs to realize, and that is the message that the church is to uphold and proclaim. Notice verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's called the incarnation. Justified or vindicated in the spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Received up into glory. Now, next Wednesday, we are going to examine more closely the message of Jesus. What we have just read here in verse 16 is a beautiful song, a beautiful outline. It's the core of what we, as Westside, and what every Bible-believing church is to teach and to preach, to proclaim, to live out. But in summary, what is it again we need to believe and hold on to as the church? which enables us to behave ourselves in the house of God? Well, we need to believe that God is the head of the church. Let me ask you, why is that so important? Why would Paul lead with that? Why do you think that God, that Christ, is the head of the church? That men don't take it over? Why else? The emphasis that we're here to lift up Christ, to exalt him. Someone else? It's not of this world. It's spiritual. Anyone else? Why would Paul lead if the church is to behave, or for the church to behave itself, we need to believe that God, that Christ, is the head of the church. We're under his authority. Anyone else? We take our cues from him. Let me ask you this. When you cut off the head of something, you cut off what? It's life. Friends, we get our life from God. He is the head. We get our life from Christ. And if you don't really believe, if you don't really understand that God, that Christ is the head of the church, you're going to seek life in all the wrong places. But when you recognize that he is our life, we come tonight to receive our life from him. Wow, it puts him on a pedestal, doesn't it? He is our life and our salvation. One thing you want to know when you walk into a church is there that's God's life I feel here. God's presence I feel in this place. And then secondly, to behave ourselves as we ought, we need to understand that the church's mission is to safeguard the truth God has given us through his word. That we are to defend it. That we are to proclaim it. We are to memorize it. We are to meditate on it. We are to believe it. We are to obey it. I mean, that is our message. The life that we get from our head, God, Jesus, he has given us a message to proclaim. That is our mission. We preach the word. We preach what he has given us to proclaim. But if you don't really believe it, and you don't really meditate on it, and you don't memorize it, and you don't study it, and you don't obey it, you don't proclaim it, you won't give it out. You won't preach it. Do you know pastors preach really what they truly believe? Do you know that? And so how important it is that we recognize that we are to be the guardian of the truth of God's word. And then third, we are to faithfully declare that Christ suffered on the cross, he rose again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Friends, we've got a story to tell. We've got truth to proclaim. The truth that God has given to us sets the soul free. I'm going to talk on Sunday the burdens that sin brings to our hearts, and that burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. That will govern, knowing that Christ is the head of the church, knowing, understanding that we are to safeguard the truth of God's word, understanding the message that we are to preach, will govern our behavior in the house of God. And again, we are seeing today the dire consequences when the church lets go of this message and its commission. I trust Westside, like Vince Lombardi's teams, will practice these fundamentals. Amen? And when we do, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, will be glorified. And men will be drawn unto him.